Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Caliber Mining. Trade on the TSX under the symbol CXB and on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. We are chatting again with the Vice President of Corporate Development and IR, Ryan King. Now, Caliber Mining, they are a production story in Nicaragua, but also have just added a production asset in Nevada. We're going to talk about 2022 outlook in terms of production and growth avenues, but because the most recent news is dealing with the completed takeover of Fiore, that is the asset coming in from Nevada. It is in production, has been in production for a few years now, so it's going to add to the production profile of the company. But then I also understand there is some growth opportunities in and around that mine that the company is operating. Ryan, start off with just reminding everybody about this acquisition of Fiore and the production growth that that immediately adds to the company here.
Well, absolutely. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate the time as always. Now, a very exciting time for Caliber. It's a pivotal time. You know, as we recall, early days, 2018, we restructured the company. 2019, we acquired production in Central America, heavily invested in that. And through Darren Hall, our CEO's great work, we were able to optimize and unlock a lot of value by delivering a kind of a one complex, a hub and spoke approach to deliver sources from all of the different satellite deposits into one or the other of our mills, which has total capacity of over 2.7 million tons annually. And therein lies some significant growth still. In Libertad, in Limon, we've got over a million tons of annual capacity available to us. So I think there's a lot of low cost, low-hanging fruit for us to increase production and generate some more cash. This opportunity in front of us, we recognized as well as a top-tier jurisdiction, but with some growth initiatives as well, and a cash flowing operation in Pan. And, you know, when you look at the history of Pan, it's a smaller heap leach operation. They're permitted to go to 17,000 tons a day mined, and it's currently being run at 14,000 tons a day mined. So, you know, we recognize that there's some opportunity there on the tons placed on the pad on an annual basis. And we're going to take a step back and analyze that and see, you know, what is the scope and scale of Pan? It's a large land package. It is underexplored. I just spent a week down there with the team, very proficient, excellent, top-notch operators there. But yeah, there's some really good opportunities there for some optimization. Being the permit can go to 17,000 tons, you know, you may look at things like owner-operated because right now it's contract mining. So we'll analyze that, as well as, you know, secondary crushing or stacking, conveyor stacking on the pads as well. So there's some opportunities across the board that we'll look at. And with a strong balance sheet, you know, I think collectively at the end of December with Fiore and Caliber, around $100 million in cash, no debt, and generating, of course, this year, even stronger operating cash flow. So we'll be able to really dig in and analyze what the opportunities are. But for the short term and medium term here, we've got drill rigs turning on Pan and Gold Rock. But to answer your question a little bit more specifically, Pan, it's been a 40 to 50,000 ounce a year producer. And then 20 kilometers away, there's the Gold Rock development stage project, which we're progressing technical studies as well as drilling some of the targets outside of the current resource and then inside the resource to build confidence and increase inferred to measured and indicated. But yeah, the PEA that the Fiore folks put out about a year and a half ago would show about 50 to 60,000 ounces heap leach production from there as well. So an opportunity to have another operating center that's producing between 90 and 100,000 ounces in Nevada, you know, a top tier mining jurisdiction. So a very exciting time for us to unlock more value for our shareholders.
Yeah, Ryan, congratulations to the team for putting together that transaction and pulling it off. It makes a lot of sense. There's some synergies. It also gives you some diversification out of Nicaragua into the number one mining jurisdiction on the planet, Nevada. And it should be mentioned that besides the Pan mine that's producing and the development stage Gold Rock, there's also the Illipa project there that has over 200 kilometers, and it was a prior producing asset. And then you also picked up the Golden Eagle asset that has 2 million ounces of gold up in Washington State. So you actually have four projects in that Fiore takeover. what is the timeline it would take to get Gold Rock up to the point where it would be contributing another 50 to 60,000, taking the production profile up over 100,000 ounces in Nevada?
Well, I think there's some more work to do. We really want to understand the scope and scale of Gold Rock. I mean, it is federally permitted, so they have a plan of operations, but it's a very large land package that has a lot of exploration potential. So, you know, we will slowly advance it. We've got significant amount of drilling happening there now to really understand, you know, as I said, the scope and scale and potential. We're drilling near the resources. They had announced a discovery, actually. In fact, last year, they announced this target called Jasperoid Creek, which is about a kilometer and a half north of the north resource pit. And we're going to, you know, start to understand what that looks like and some of the geological targets that have been identified by the Fiore team as well as ourselves. But we'll progress that as well as technical studies this year, putting ourselves in a position to really understand that. And I would imagine that, you know, sort of in the 2024 type timeframe is that we could look at, you know, a construction decision or a production decision based on all the findings throughout the next 12 months as we advance the drilling on that project. So I think that's what we're looking at, Chad. I preface that, you know, really we want to investigate the resource expansion and discovery potential along that property. And right now we've got 3 rigs operating at Gold Rock.
All right, Ryan, let's move on to talk about a little look back, I guess, into 2021 and the production that the company experienced through the assets in Nicaragua here, because the company exceeded the high end of your 2021 production guidance. You delivered little over 182,000 ounces of gold. I realize that 2022 guidance is also for an increase here, but take us through what contributed to the success in terms of outperforming your 2021 guidance on the production front in Nicaragua, please.
Sure. Yeah, 2021, I mean, everyone felt the effects of the COVID-19 impacts. You know, it was a year of additional procedures, additional protocols, you know, in some cases globally, supply chain disruptions. So it was a really good job of the team to deliver on those expectations and actually beat the high end of our production. So a fantastic year for Calibre, a 30% increase over 2020. And so we continue to deliver on those commitments and expectations. And as you've seen this year, we're guiding 180,000 to 190,000 ounces. So a slightly bump from where we were in 2021. And I think it's the great work of the team. We brought on Pavón this year, which was a new source, a nice new high-grade open pit source. You know, Pavón was an orphaned deposit, and at the time that we put it into production, couldn't justify a mill. So we advanced permitting in 2020, and were able to successfully permit this 3-gram open pit deposit, and then construct for less than $15 million. And so in Q1 of last year, we initiated mining and ore haulage from Pavón to Libertad for processing. And gradually throughout the year, we steadily increased quarter over quarter haulage rates. And in September, we hit the target of a little over 1,000 tons per day hauled from Pavón to Libertad, which I think was a very significant point for our operations to say that, hey, we can deliver and execute on hauling material effectively and safely to these facilities. And that's what really drove and helped deliver the production outlook and beat the production outlook for our guidance in 2021. And in fact, we see future opportunities. You know, Pavón is one, Limón to Libertad is one. And then we're, you know, working towards a pre-feasibility study for Eastern Borosi to Libertad, which would be another satellite deposit feeding into the mill. So a lot of great opportunities for low cost because we have the infrastructure in place. Production growth and cash flow growth for the business.
Yeah, Ryan, it's going to be exciting to keep following along with the developments at Eastern Borosi because it could be another spoke for the hub there. So another production center. Besides Eastern Borosi, the ability to keep finding new discoveries and to keep growing the amount of ounces and reserves, what are some of the other targets outside of there that you have your sights set on for 2022?
Yeah, it's a great question because that's a big, exciting piece of our story, right? Is because of the surplus capacity at our mills, look at the exploration and new targets and new opportunities that could turn quickly, as we know from the Pavón experience, into ore source to feed either one of those mills. So 2022 has us drilling probably 80 to 90,000 meters in Central America. We've got Limon and Libertad, our two mill sites, and all around there, there's excellent opportunities. You know, case in point, last year, we discovered a new area called a Volcan, which is less than 5 kilometers away from the Libertad mill. I think we've probably got between 20 and 30 drill holes into this zone, but some excellent results have been returned. 15 grams over 4.9 meters, 7 grams over 4 meters, 8.8 grams over 2.5 meters. So some really good, interesting drill results. And those are all less than 100, 125 meters from surface. So this, to us, presents an opportunity where, you know, this is a very low hauls to the mill, high-grade material that could turn into another deposit and another spoke for the operation. And so I'm pretty excited to see what's going to come out of this Volcan deposit this year. But as well, we look at Eastern Borosi. I mean, Eastern Borosi has been a really exciting turn of events after all the drilling we did last year. You know, again, I'll just refresh the audience. I mean, 25 grams over 10 meters, 40 grams over 3 meters. So we've had some fantastic drill intercepts at Eastern Borosi as we work towards increasing confidence, understanding the resource expansion potential at Eastern Borosi, and completing a pre-feasibility study, which again will only be an initial snapshot of the project. We're only advancing 3 of the known vein systems. And then we've identified 20 plus targets on top of that for resource expansion and discovery. And we've got rigs turning at Eastern Borosi. We should have a news release out in the next couple of weeks on Eastern Borosi as the results start coming in from the remaining 2021 drill program. So we still have a lot of outstanding assay results waiting to be released to the market here. So I'm really excited to see how those come in and what they look like, because I think we're going to see new discoveries and the potential to expand resources, which will lead into a 2022 program that'll follow up on all those results.
So, Ryan, let's talk about 2022 guidance in terms of Nicaragua, those assets there. I understand that at least in the first half of 2022, you're looking at about 20% higher production. But I know a lot of people, when looking at producing assets, are also wondering what companies are going to do in terms of these rising costs, generally inflation hitting the bottom line when it comes to costs. Can you take us through what the guidance is for next year and what you guys are doing to mitigate some of these rising costs, please?
Sure. No, of course. I mean, I think all businesses have started to feel the effects of the inflation and supply chain interruptions due to the ongoing pandemic. But we started to recognize cost inflation last year in a significant way, actually. In fact, we talked about it on our Q2 conference call. We were 60% higher in diesel fuel. We were 250% increased in steel costs. So we had started to already factor this in and recognize some of those cost inflations. And in fact, we actually anticipated that 2021, we were going to start to feel some effects of that. And of course, we did. Indeed, we came in the higher end, beat the high end of our production, but we will be probably top tier on the higher end of our cost as well. But we, you know, we anticipate that we will be within the guidance. And going into our budgeting process for 2022 and feeling what we felt in 2021 from an inflationary perspective, we really wanted to make sure we got in front of this. We dove deep into all of the supply chain, all of the different reagents, consumables, labor, et cetera, to make sure that we got the right forecast. And so for 2022, in Central America, we're guiding 180 to 190,000 ounces, which doesn't include Eastern Borosi. Of course, we're going through the permitting process for Eastern Borosi. It doesn't include Pavón Central too much in the year, as we're permitting Pavón Central and going through the process to bring that from a satellite deposit onto an operating satellite pit that feeds into Libertad, which has double the grade on the reserve grade as Pavón Norte. So after going through all of that, we're about 1,100 to 1,200 all-in sustaining costs. And we've really budgeted for higher inflation numbers. We've budgeted for, I think we're budgeting almost $100 barrel oil. So we're making sure that we're thinking further ahead to get in front of this so that we can meet or exceed expectations best as we can. right? As best information that's at our fingertips at the time of going through this work. And you have to kind of forecast where you think you will be going, particularly when it comes to costs. But I think we have a very good supply chain team working on contracts, making sure that we have the products we need, but at the costs that are reasonable. And so, yeah, no, it's going to be a strong year of delivering significant operating cash flow. I mean, gold price north of $1,800 an ounce generates a lot of operating cash flow for us to reinvest back into the drill bit or new mine site development. So we're in a great position from that perspective. No debt, reinvesting back into the business for future growth. And we haven't even layered on Nevada yet, which will come out probably the end of the first quarter, early second quarter. And if you look at the history there in Nevada, the Pan operation, they've been producing between 40 to 50,000 ounces in that kind of ballpark range. Last year, they were 45,000 ounces. And so, yeah, there's a good opportunity there to look at cost optimization, production optimization, which we will do because we have a stronger balance sheet. And we can look at all of those things to see what could be done there. But the guidance for the consolidated guidance will come out around the end of Q1.
Okay, Ryan, we'll definitely follow up with you at that point, but it sounds like it's going to be another busy year for you guys, and very interesting, the add-on of that Fiore acquisition. So if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those addressed for you. And as I mentioned, we'll be having Ryan back on the back of some more news. Ryan, thanks again for your time, buddy. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.